ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 1। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर समरी चैप्टर 1 The chapter entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. In this chapter, in response to a question by Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami gives his conclusions concerning how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Super Soul, friend and protector of everyone, killed the daityas, the demons, for the sake of Indra, the king of heaven. In his statements, he totally refutes the arguments of people in general who accuse the Supreme of partiality. Sukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the three qualities of nature, dualities arise, such as enmity and friendship, attachment and detachment. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there are no such dualities. Even eternal time cannot control the activities of the Lord. Eternal time is created by the Lord and it acts under His control. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the modes of nature, Maya, the Lord's external energy, which acts in creation and annihilation. Thus, all the demons killed by the Supreme Lord attain salvation immediately. The second question raised by Parikshit Maharaj concerns how Sishupal, although inimical toward Krishna from his very childhood and always blaspheming Krishna, attained salvation in oneness when Krishna killed him. Sukadeva Goswami explains that because of their offenses at the feet of devotees, two attendants of the Lord in Vaikuntha named Jaya and Vijaya became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Satya Yuga, Ravana and Kumbhakarna in the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Shishupal and Dantavakra at the end of Dwapara Yuga. Because of their fruitive acts, Jaya and Vijaya agreed to become the Lord's enemies. And when killed, in that mentality they attain salvation in oneness. Thus, even if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in envy, he attains salvation. What then is to be said of the devotees who always engage in the Lord's service with love and faith? So we'll chant the Sanskrit now for the first text. Sri Raja Vacha Samapriya Suhrid Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte Katam Daityan Avadhid Visamoyata Samapriya Suhrudit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte Katam Daityan Avadhid Visamoyata Samapriya Suhrudit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte Katam Daityan Avadhid Vishamoyatha.
Sri Raghavacha.
Mataji's, please. So, word for word meaning, please repeat. Sri Raja Uvacha, Maharaj Parikshit said, Samaha, equal, Priya, beloved, Suhrit, friend, Brahman, O Brahmana, Sukadeva, Bhutanam, toward all living entities, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Swayam, Himself, Indrasya, of Indra, Arte, for the benefit, Katham, how, Daityan, the demons, Avadit, killed, Vishama, partial, Yatha, as if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. King Parikshit inquired, My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical toward others? That's a nice question, especially when new devotees come, they have this kind of question. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking on our behalf to clarify Krishna's position and supreme mercy. Purport, in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priya. I am equal to everyone, no one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hata putra diti sakra parshni grahena vishnuna. Therefore the Lord was clearly partial to Indra, although he is the super soul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly the super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus there cannot be any faulty action on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet he took the side of Indra just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone, But when he saw that Krishna acted as the enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed his question to Sukadeva Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from the authority Sukadeva Goswami. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Samasya Katham Vaisamyam. Since the Lord is equally disposed toward everyone, how can he be partial? Priyasya Katham Asuresu Priti Abhava. The Lord, being the Super Soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior toward the asuras? How is this impartial? Suhrudas chakatam teshu asau hardam. Since the Lord says that He is suhrudam sarva bhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could He act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Sukadeva Goswami. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharni Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gauravaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're just meditating on our good fortune to have all these wonderful purports of Srila Prabhupada and so many MP3s of Srila Prabhupada's lectures and kirtans. Imagine if there was one CD of Jesus Christ, or one CD of Mohammed, or Buddha, or any of the great teachers. It would be worth billions of dollars. Just one CD, something written directly by them. But here we are so fortunate, we have thousands of lectures and kirtans and books by Prabhupada. So this is our supreme good fortune. So what happens is, by reading Prabhupada's books, we understand Krishna's position. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that avajananti mam muda manusim tanum ashrita. Krishna expresses his heart in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains how people misunderstand him when he descends in a human-like form. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's commentaries, purports, we actually go from being super envious of Krishna to the stage of pure lovers of Krishna. So in this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a very nice question. It seems like Krishna is taking sides, If God is all good, why is He siding with the demigods, and he's killing the demons? What's going on here? And as we read on, we understand how Krishna is all good, and even when he kills the demons, it looks like he's taking the side of the demigods, but the demons are also blessed, because instead of gliding down lower and lower species and being envious of Krishna for long time, they actually get liberated. So in that sense, even Krishna killing them is a blessing. So there's no partiality in that sense. And it's explained that what to speak of Krishna, even a devotee of Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna, is not partial. He's not envious, he's not greedy. Haro abhaktasya kuto mahat guna. For a non-devotee, a materialistic person, he has no good qualities. But a devotee, he has the good qualities, all the good qualities of a demigod. So like I was visiting this really, really holy place, Kanchipuram, and this relative of mine who was giving me a tour, he was actually explaining the glories of one Alvar. Alvar, we say in Tamil, but Alvar, easy to pronounce. And his name was Desikan. And he was actually so a broad-minded person. It's explained that he was actually so Krishna conscious that people were envious of him. It happens all the time, consistently, you know. As soon as somebody is trying to do something nice, immediately there are so many enemies. And the locals actually, out of envy, garlanded him with shoes. And the disciples were actually very, very sorry that this happened. So the disciples were actually fasting. And they were very morose. They didn't know how to react to this situation. And when Desikan found out that, you know, this happened, he was, you know, asking his disciples, what's wrong? You know, why you guys look so sad? And the disciples expressed their hearts. And he said, this place is so holy. It's a dham. It's, you know, it's the home of Krishna within the material world. And all these people are so fortunate and so exalted to be able to be born here. They're dhamvasis. And to get garlanded by, you know, the shoes worn by them, I'm extremely fortunate. So I'm just, you know, counting my good fortune and I'm in ecstasy. He was talking like this. So just thinking the position of a devotee, just the point of view, you know, how we view life is so different, so positive. And also it's explained, he had thousands of disciples, but he would never accept any salary or, you know, money for teaching. And he would just go door to door and just beg whatever is necessary for that day's prasadam. And some of the devotees, they actually wanted, you know, to make him really, really comfortable. So they actually mixed gold coins along with the rice and poured it in his begging bowl. So he went and gave it to his wife. And his wife was also so Krishna conscious and so not materialistic. And she is called actually the gold that does not know anything about gold. She's gold in character and she does not know anything about gold. That's how she is addressed. And she called her husband and said, there's something mixed with this rice. What is this? I've never seen it before. And Desikan came and he could see that this is gold, you know. So he warned his wife, this is one kind of virus. Be very careful. Once you touch it, it'll first wrap around your finger. He's talking about a gold ring. And then it'll wrap around your wrist, like bracelets. And then it'll wrap around your neck. And it'll strangle you, your spiritual life pretty much. So he was so detached and he carefully removed it using a durba grass. And it's also explained how he was so Krishna conscious, so dear to Krishna, but he kept himself so poor and, you know, in a in a poverty-stricken state. And one Brahmin boy approached the village and he was actually begging all the rich people. He was going to all the rich people and saying, you know, I'm about to get married, I need some Lakshmi, can any of you help? And all the rich people, they actually wanted to make fun of this devotee. So they actually sent this boy to this devotee, Desikan. And they said, oh, there is this, you know, Vaishnava, he's very rich, he can give you lots of money, you go to him. So this boy went to Desikan and said, I heard you have lots of money and can you give me something? I'm about to get married. So Desikan actually took him to the deity, Lakshmi deity, and he sang some prayers. And he started actually raining gold coins from the sky. But he never bothered to even take one for himself. He just humbly served this person that approached him. And left. So, Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvai Gunai Statra Samasate Sura. A devotee has all the good qualities. Naturally, what to speak of Krishna, the source of all good qualities. On the other hand, Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahaduguna, we don't know anything about the goal of life. We don't know that we are spiritual beings. We think somehow or other, if I get some money by hook or crook, then I'm successful. That's how people are valued in Kali Yuga as well. Doesn't matter who he or she is, as long as they have some money, they're respected. It's like I took a taxi from Chennai to my hometown, Ranipet. And on the way, I wanted to get some money out of the ATM, so I asked the car driver to stop. I've been in the West for like the past, 17, 18 years. I forgot how things work in India. So I opened the car door, and within this small gap, one guy was trying to go super fast in his bicycle. I couldn't imagine, it's like mystic powers or something. Everywhere somebody's coming, bikes and bicycles and cars, in such a small street. So as soon as he opened the car door, he came and hit the door and he went flying. And he fell down. And the driver wanted to beat him up, saying, what are you doing? You know, why are you going so fast? And anyway, it was solved. So I went home. And on the way, you know, this guy is pretending to be so nice, this taxi driver. I bought him like lunch and I gave him some beads and I gave him some books, prasadam. I was talking so nicely, and as soon as I went home, he's showing some dent that happened maybe like 5 years ago in his car. And saying, I called my owner, he's very sorry, he's very sorry. He's talking to me in English, you know. He's very sorry, you made this big dent in the car. And please give something a little bit more. I'm like, this guy came and hit the inside of the car door and nothing happened. And he's showing a dent in the back mudguard. And trying to ask me money, so I called my mom. She took care of him. She actually gave him 300 rupees less than what I'm supposed to give him. So I was thinking, we're always with devotees, so we kind of not used to protecting ourselves so much, you know, against all kinds of exploitation. We kind of open and we think everybody is like us, but as soon as there is chance, people exploit us because they don't know anything higher. So in this verse, Parikshit Maharaj is trying to glorify Krishna in the form of his question. And he wanted Shukadeva Goswami to enlighten all of us how Krishna is all good. And it is, Prabhupada explains, how Krishna, when he appeared as Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was, inspiring Arjuna also to kill like millions of these demons. And again, as I just explained a few minutes ago, even though so many of them were killed, they all attained liberation just because they all died in the presence of Krishna. And Prabhupada explains how this world is actually a dukkhalayam, a shashvatam. It's nothing so special about this world if we're not Krishna conscious. All we are doing is simply suffering. And Prabhupada says, just like the Sanskrit for this world is Bhavasagara, the ocean of birth and death. And Prabhupada explains how when he was in the ocean, the boat, the Jaladuta, was constantly, you know, moved and tossed and turned by these huge waves in the middle of the ocean. Similarly, no matter how nice boat we have, just the fact we are in this world, we're going to suffer. There's going to be so much turbulence. So Prabhupada explains, Krishna mercifully liberated all the people that even just died in His presence. But the amazing thing is, the same Krishna and Balaram, who didn't tolerate any nonsense, just because Romaharshan didn't stand up, Balaram just took a blade of grass and cut off his head, you know, just because he didn't stand up. Balaram was so powerful and intense. The same Krishna who killed so many of these demons in Balaram, what to speak of Balaram, they appeared as Gauranitai, the super most merciful, Sri Sri Gauranitai. And it is explained, Prabhupada says, practically speaking, if Gauranitai, they were to kill the materialistic people, practically speaking, nobody would be spared in this day and age. But because they are so merciful, they have actually come to kill the demoniac mentality of the people, not the physical form. Just like when Madai hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head with the clay pot, and Mahaprabhu appeared on the scene and he wanted to sever his head with the Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu begged him, saying, "No, my lord, you know, you didn't come for this purpose. You cannot physically kill these demons, because if you did, then, you know, there'll be nobody can be spared. Everybody is in a similar situation." So therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays, "Dina hina jata chilo harinama uddarilo." Nitai and Gaura, they delivered Jagai and Madai through the harinam, through the chanting of the holy names. Thara Sakshi Jagai Madai. And Narottam also prays, "Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar, Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Pai Bayar." He's praying to Lord Chaitanya, "You're the most merciful incarnation and you've come to deliver all kinds of materialistic people. And my claim is first," Narottam Das Thakur is saying, "because you will not find somebody more materialistic and fallen than me." So this is what Gaura and Nitai has come to give. So it's no confusion. There's no confusion why he killed the demons, why he took the side of the devotees. He's so merciful. No problem. Everyone is welcome. And they have given us this simple formula of chanting Hare Krishna mantra and taking prasadam. And Prabhupada has introduced the book distribution. So it's our duty to take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and take it also to others. Is it Ganesh Prabhu distributing the holy name? And distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and distributing prasadam. And just by these activities, we receive so much mercy. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yare dekhyo tare kaho Krishna upadesh." Whoever you meet, whoever you come across, you always tell them about Krishna. And it's not so easy. This instruction may sound easy, but it's not so easy. Anyone you come across, if you actually want to do this, you're always in anxiety and you're always taxing your brain how to do this. And this way you're always Krishna conscious simultaneously. By giving Krishna to others, we become Krishna conscious. And by this activity, we become so fortunate, so blessed. So this is the process. Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Just like the analogy is given, the lotus in the pond, it gets its nourishment, it blossoms when the sunshine is there, when the sun is there. Similarly, our hearts are compared to the lotuses, and Krishna is compared to the Supreme Sun. And we blossom when there is Krishna consciousness. But what helps the lotus is the heat and light of the sun. So if we think, oh, I'll just put a heater next to the lotus flower and see if it does the same. No, it'll just wilt. Or if the sunshine is there, but we pull it out of the water, the lotus flower, it'll also wilt. So it's explained, the Guru's mercy is like the water and Krishna's mercy is like the sunshine. And we need both in order for us to, become, reawaken our original Krishna consciousness. So we are so blessed, as I was pointing earlier, how we have all these teachings by Srila Prabhupada, where we can clearly understand, why Krishna does things the way he does, and how to see it, and how to see when there are reversals in our life, and how to be Krishna consciousness in all circumstances, how to make progress, and how to distribute this. The science, Prabhupada also taught us how to distribute prasadam, harinam, book distribution. So by this simple activity of reading Prabhupada's books and distributing Prabhupada's books, we are becoming more and more fortunate, and we are making the most unfortunate people of Kali Yuga also fortunate in the mood of Sri Sri Gaura Nithai. So if any of us have questions or comments or discussion, we have a couple of minutes. I'll read the translation one more time. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra, and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical toward others?" Are you stretching? Or you have a question? Sachidanoi Prabhu.
When he went to the great assembly of sages and he, with a blade of grass, he killed the person who was there. So can you explain also when Lord Balaram, that's one incident, there's a history behind why he did that, or there's an explanation for that. So then also Lord Balaram, he chose, for some reason, by his own will, he chose to, kindness you can say, to be a friend of Duryodhana and be his teacher. And apparently he was, we know how who Duryodhana was. So can you just mention something about that? That a purport can you give?
Yeah, Balaram, love is blind, Balaram was teaching Duryodhana the art of club fighting. So being a student, it's natural if somebody serves you and submissive to you, you become attached to that person. Like Amala Bhakta Prabhu points out sometimes, the son may be a serial killer, but the mother sees him as a saint, out of love you see things different. So Balaram didn't want to see this Duryodhana and Arjuna fighting and killing each other, so he left. He didn't want out of sight, you know. And he came across this assembly of sages, and Romaharshana was elected to speak on the subject of Bhagavatam. But Balaram was upset because he was speaking very nicely, but he was not following what he was speaking. So Balaram said, "You're a hypocrite, you know, you say so many things, but, you know, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, you don't even have the culture and etiquette to stand up and welcome, even though you didn't have to, because it's explained Bhagavatam is Krishna, so when Bhagavatam is there, you don't have to bow down to anyone while you're speaking. Still, you know, you staged this extreme situation just to set an example, and he took a darbha grass and killed him." And the sages were upset, you know. Now we don't have a speaker. We all elected him unanimously. Now we don't have a speaker. And Balaram said, "If you like, I can bring him back to life. That's what you all desire." And the devotee said, "No, it's not necessary. But since you're the supreme, you already done it." So Balaram said, "The son is as good as the father. So bring the son of Romaharshan." And he empowered him to, you know, he gave him the same position as the father and empowered him to speak. And the Brahmana said, you know, the Vaishnava said, "You somehow or other you committed a Brahmahatya, you killed a Vaishnava, you killed a Brahmana, so to atone for this you have to go on a tour to all the holy places." So Balaram, Chai. Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Josh, you had something really quick? Oh yes, Prabhu.
Part of your answer has fully satisfied me, and I thank you very much. But there's another part which did not, and maybe you can either elaborate or...
You please.
Is that
you,
right?
You enlighten us.
No. But this is a feeding back. Is there some way to lower the volume over there?
Lower the volume.
By the time he gets it done, I'll forget what I have to say. So what I wanted to mention is that you made the analogy that I often make, that when a mother finds out that her serial killer son is a serial killer based upon DNA evidence, but she denies it, she screams and she claims this is impossible, it's my son due to attachment, as you mentioned. And that's the how attachment blinds us. But we're talking about not an ordinary human being with ordinary attachments in the case of Balaram. First of all, I cannot believe that Balaram would have such a blind attachment to Duryodhana. He is the Supreme Lord. He does know all the bad qualities of Duryodhana. He also knows his good qualities, whatever they may be. So, true, Balaram has respect for him because he did show respect and honor and glorification of him during the course of time when he was teaching him club fighting. Nonetheless, that doesn't answer the fact that Balaram knows that he's a rogue, he's a rascal, he's a wretch. He attempted to kill Bhima several times. He's a criminal, basically, in a position of royalty. And therefore, those ordinary, what we call ordinary reasons, could not be applied to Balaram. He knows the situation. He knows what's what. The only way it has ever been explained to me, because I've also had that same question, is that this is done quite often. Sometimes Balaram and Krishna will disagree with each other for no other purpose than the purposes of pastime, and to make the pastime richer and sweeter and more interesting. A very good example of this is when Arjun kidnapped... if you want to call it, it's really not a kidnapping, Subhadra. So that was at Krishna's instigation. Krishna wanted that type of a marriage because Subhadra did love Arjuna, and she had no interest or desire for Duryodhana, knowing his qualities. And she was in the family, and she knew in Krishna's family. She's the sister of Krishna, and she knew exactly what kind of a person he is. But Balaram had arranged this in advance because of this very reason that we are speaking about, that Duryodhana had been very respectful to Balaram during the time he had been teaching him club fighting. So what happened was that finally Arjuna did elope with her, and Balaram was steaming mad. There was a big assembly, and they were going to go after Arjuna, and the idea was even to kill him if possible. So what happened, this is in Mahabharata, by the way, for the reference. So what happened is that Krishna, seeing how steamed up and how angry not only Balaram was, but the whole assembly was steamed up. So Krishna came down from his throne, and he got down on his knees, and he pleaded with Balaram, and he explained to him how much Subhadra loves Arjuna, and that they would make a perfect couple. In fact, that Arjuna was meant for her, and that by trying to harm Arjuna would only disappoint and depress Subhadra. You would already really hurt her. So when Krishna is on his knees and he puts his head on the feet of Balaram, and he apparently transforms him right at that time, and Balaram says, "I understand," and tears begin to come down from his eyes. So Balaram, being the Supreme Lord, knows all this. But it is a very beautiful pastime and a perfect example to see Krishna get down on his knees, put his head on the feet of his older brother, and beg for mercy for his friend and devotee Arjuna. So what is the basis of this? This is pastime. Pastime is what makes the whole incidents of Krishna relishable, enjoyable, and also we learn something from Krishna on how to persuade a person in a non-violent way you can't always do this, but in this particular case, Krishna was giving the example of how humility can transform a person's heart, change his opinion, and change his course of action.
Jai, thank you. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.